Yes, guys, what's good? You're tuned into Mango Masala, Pi Radio South Asian show. My name's Gerns, and I am joined back again by Saloni. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I just want to check, like, how are you doing? Because most importantly, because a lot has been going on for you over the past, like, I want to say month in particular. Yeah. So, yeah, how is it going?
I'm feeling amazing. I won't lie. There are a few ups and like downs and stuff because it's like a lot at once. So it can get quite overwhelming. But right now I'm at quite a high because had some big news come through this week. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, on that note, congratulations, first of all, Ethnicity Awards.
Thank you so much.
So what was the particular award was it that you won again?
It was for Music Artist 2024. Yeah, did not expect it one bit because I was literally up against people I looked up. I was a directioner growing up, so being up against Zayn Malik, I was like, oh, I've got no chance. So insane, still soaking it in, still shaking about it, but
yeah, no, I mean, to be recognized amongst like some massive names, like I think I saw Ray on there as well,
who's
obviously like I would say mainstream crossover names as well, so like to be recognized amongst all of those, like, must have been really good.
Thank you. I think I was like so thankful to even be nominated amongst them and be in the top 10, but winning was just out of the question for me, and I was just so shocked when it happened.
No, I'm glad that like you're getting recognized, and also I hope that getting that moment on that stage as well, like, will showcase yourself to like a whole new audience as well that maybe haven't heard of your music before. Aside from that, the main focus obviously on the past month has been your new EP. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is this your debut EP or is this?
So it's my debut EP in like the British Asian scene.
Got
before
you.
I released two EPs back in, one in 2017 and one in 2019, but that was when I was just doing pure pop. I kind of kept my Indian side separate, I'd say, or like I included it in a cover, which I put into the first EP, but that was about it. Originals wise, this is the first one where I've actually brought in my culture along with English pop, R&B and stuff like that.
Got you. And if it was before COVID, does it really count anyway? It's like BC.
Yeah.
But you have been a prominent name, particularly on the British Asian music scene over the past couple of years. So it's kind of been like this has been a long time coming in a sense, because I think we've seen a number of well-performing singles from yourself, but not necessarily a body of work. So how did this end up coming about?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, the whole aim of this EP was to just get a body of work out. I feel like you said, kind of long time coming, had a good few singles going on. And I was like, I really want something to showcase who I am in one area. And that's what this EP was about throughout the genres of the music, the languages, the meaning behind the lyrics, everything. I just feel like it really represents me. And that's why you'll see some old tracks I literally started off my British Asian career with in this EP, because I don't want to lose them. I felt like those were quite deep in my, like, in who I am as an artist, who I am as a person, that I wanted it to be in this EP, because the whole point of this EP was to represent the kind of person I am, the kind of artist I am. Rani, which means queen in Hindi, kind of sets the tone for the whole EP, because it's about, you know, being the queen of your own dreams, taking the reign of your career. And then, the whole EP is just a journey from there.
For sure. And I think a running theme throughout all of the songs is this kind of idea of, like you just said, of pursuing that dream and the different stages of that. So was it that you kind of were making these songs with that in mind, or did it just naturally fall into place that you were like, actually, all these songs kind of do link together in that sense?
Yeah, so in terms of the order of the songs and the kind of songs that were going on the EP, I think it just so happened that they were about what I was writing about in terms of the dream aspect. Because the way I did this release was a waterfall release, so some of them did release as singles previously. And so when it came to the six track EP, four of the songs were already released, and it was like kind of just putting the body of work together. And if I was to say, let's say Legacy, that was released 2 years ago, same with Chalima. And in between, I'd put in other singles as well. So like Nigo Ndilona, Chel Sonia, those were singles that I'd released in between but didn't put on the EP because those ones were amazing tracks, but I didn't feel like it represented me as an artist. It represented me as an artist in terms of the vibe of the song, the different languages that I put on, but not in terms of the meaning of the song. They were love songs or party songs sort of thing. So that way I was careful with what I put on the EP because I wanted it to all have like a meaning, which was, you know, striving for your dream. Rani, when Farouk sent me this song, when Farouk sent me the beat, I was like, okay, I know that I want this to be the title track. I don't know what it's going to be about, but I know I want it to be the title track because the second I heard the beat, I felt, okay, empowering, bad beat energy, and I titled it Rani without even thinking of what the theme was going to be. And then after listening to that, I was like, okay, because this is the title track of the EP, I want to make sure that everything that I say is hitting what I want the whole EP to be about. And so that's when you'll hear lyrics in it like Southside girl on a breakthrough now, brown skin queen, let me wear my crown. It's all about empowering the South Asian culture, and especially me being a female, kind of empowering that woman side of it. And like, there's this specific lyric in there that's in Hindi that I really like, Meri Duniya Maine Khareedi, which basically means I bought this lifestyle for myself. I've worked hard and I've earned it, and I've had support from everyone, but in the end, it is down to me to make this happen. And it's kind of like, and again, that kind of sets the tone for the entire EP and the meaning of it, hoping to inspire other people to think in the same way that you've earned this lifestyle for yourself. So make sure that you're making every second of it, and it's all in your control. No one else controls your life. So that's kind of what I did. And with the rest of the tracks as well. So Legacy, I put on, even though I released it 2 years ago, I put on there because that is most, I think, out of everything. Actually, no, there are quite, I was going to say out of all the tracks, that's the one that represents it the most, but I actually think a lot of the tracks on there represent it. But that one was key because it was the first song where I was like, this is about the legacy that I'd like to leave behind, and bringing in my mother tongue, Telugu, which meant a lot because I didn't see that put up in the British Asian scene growing up. Like, I'd heard Tamil, I'd heard Punjabi, I'd heard Bengali, but I'd never heard Telugu. And I was like, okay, I want to be that person to do that. So that was a big part of the legacy that I'd like to leave behind. So that came on the EP. And yeah, throughout, I feel like we can go step by step into each song of the EP, but that's kind of what set the tone. And so by chance, a few did go on there, but also I was very careful in thinking like which ones out of the songs I'd previously released to put on there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, say, it would be nice for us to just like kind of go through the EP just briefly, because I think, like, say, the songs kind of do work together really well, but at the same time, they're all so different in their own way as well. And I'm also interested to hear as well about the process behind the collaborations as well, because, like I say, this EP, as your sort of debut EP, it is very much defining you as an artist, what you're about, that sort of thing. So I was interested at the fact that the majority of the tracks do actually have a collaboration. So I'm interested as to the thought process behind that, of like kind of setting it as like, yes, this is all about me, but also I've got these other people with me as well that helping show that as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just going from the beginning, do you want to just take us through each track?
Sure. So Rani, I guess I kind of spoke about a bit. The second I heard the beat, I knew that I wanted it to be the title track. Farouk Got Audio, who is an absolutely insane producer, we met a year before that, I think, a year or a half before we released this EP, at Rackstar's launch party. That's where I also met Bilal Shahid, where we released Nigo Ndilona. So that was a good party for me to go to because I clearly made some good contacts.
The power of networking.
For real. And to think I wasn't going to go that day because I wasn't really in the right headspace to go to a party, but I am ever so glad I went. But yeah, so that's where I met Farouk. I'd already heard his stuff because I'd heard his mashups, and I loved his remixes and everything. So we connected and he checked out my stuff. And for the whole, like, we knew we were going to do something together. We didn't know when. For a lot of it, we thought, well, I thought at least, that it was just going to be like a mashup, or I would kind of sing something and he'd sample it. But I didn't think we'd do an original. So doing an original was quite cool. There was a bit of hiff-haff around this beat as well, because we weren't sure if I could get this beat because I think he was working with someone else on it. But, you know, everything works for the right reasons, because even though it was delayed, it still happened. And like, I really think everything happens for a reason. So that happened. I managed, we got the beat, started writing to it, literally in this very room at home upstairs. Farouk came, we kind of sat together, thought of melodies, and kind of like, just as we thought of melodies, I was like, okay, I know what the meaning of this is going to be. You know, kind of someone, again, a very empowerment anthem, talking about owning your career, owning your dreams. And so I wrote all the English lyrics, sent off the melody to my Hindi lyricist, and got the lyrics written to the melodies, but with the meaning that I had in mind, which was the whole empowering side. So that's kind of how Rani came to play. I definitely think it was accompanied with insane visuals. I think a lot of people said that this looked like, I mean, the song itself is a statement piece, but you can also see that in the video itself. Akash, who I worked with on the music video, he absolutely smashed it. I gave him the vision of, you know, I want it to be regal, royal as Rani, because that means queen. So I wanted to have that set up without looking too cliche. But also you can get the, like, what's the look? You can get like a grungy feel from it because of the hip hop beat. In essence, it's hip hop, so it is pretty grungy. And we were like, okay, how can we mix both of it together without seeming weird? And so that's why we actually did two shoot days. One was for the whole Rani aspect of it, and one was for the more bad beat end of it. And that one, like, the bad beat side, we literally had dogs in front of like a G-Wagon. We were like holding the dogs and performing the song. So overall, it was an amazing experience. And I really think the visuals helped as well, because I seem to be getting lots of compliments just on that video alone. So yeah, overall, it was a really good experience. I loved working with Farouk. He's a crazy producer, so it was nice kind of getting ideas from him and going back and forth. I feel like a lot of these things, it's a collaborative process. You can't do it alone. And so working with people really is really fun.
Moving on to track number two.
Track number two is Legacy.
So this is one that actually has been around for a while before it.
A while, yeah.
Legacy and Chilimo, were they made whilst you were still at uni, right? Yeah. So what was the process behind Legacy in terms of actually putting it together and then also deciding to put it on the EP? I know you said about the reasons why, but just briefly.
Yeah, so Legacy was actually something that I released 2 years ago. And the reason that I wanted that on the EP, even though it was released a while back, was because it represents why I'm doing my music career, why I release the kind of music that I'm releasing. It's because in the end, when I pass away, what is the legacy that I want to leave? What do I want to be known for? And that is known for combining my two cultures, representing both sides within my mother tongue, which is Telugu. And so I just couldn't not have that on the EP. I knew I had to have it on there, even though it was an old release. And I just felt I was only coming into the British Asian scene at that point. Not many people knew me, even though I'd released like stuff before. I wasn't that established. So I was like, I feel like it got the love from the close people at that time, but I just thought I have a bigger fan base now. So I wanted to relaunch it. And that's why I put it on the EP.
Moving on next to Fade Away. Obviously, this one as well, you've got a big name from the British Asian music scene, DA, on there. How did that collaboration come about?
This one's crazy. This one's a true representation of manifestation. And I don't know, I feel like in our last interview, we might have talked about manifestation as well, because I don't know why. I just feel like I've manifested my entire life. But this one, literally, I think like a couple days or a week before he DM'd me, I was like to my producer, can we try and reach out to DA? I want to work with him. And like out of the, I think it was like the next day or two, he DMs me going, I love your stuff, I want to work with you. And I was like, what? This is insane. I was literally talking about you the other day. So that's crazy. Like the world literally works in mysterious ways and brought us together. It felt wholesome to me to like know that I thought of something and it just like happened without me having to reach out to them. Obviously it goes both ways. Sometimes you have to reach out to people, but it's like, you know, when someone wants to work with you and when you wanted to work with them, it just feels like it's another level of like, what is it called? Like
mutual respect.
Yeah, for sure. And so that felt really good because I'd loved his stuff. His previous songs, I really liked them. And I was like, this would be really cool, like R&B wise. And so we came together. He actually sent me a demo that he already had. So the Hindi bit that you're hearing, like that bit, that was actually already done. on this YouTube beat that he found, a scissor type beat. And so he put that to, so he sent his demo through to me, his verse and that. And I was like, I fell in love the second I heard it. I was like, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Because he sent me like 3 or 4 beats or demos, and this was the one that stood out to me. And I was like, I really want to do this one. So I got that down. We didn't have the beat. I think we couldn't, because he did the demo a few years ago. So he didn't have the YouTube beat on hand. So we got someone else on board to recreate this beat in a nicer way. And so we did that. And then as I heard that, I kind of came up with the verse, the chorus. And again, because I wanted to make sure that the Urdu bit, that was already created. And obviously, we didn't really want to change it too much because we loved how it flowed. So even though it was a love song, I was like, how can we make it so that, yeah, it sounds like a love song, but it's more metaphorical. So I decided to do that with the English bits that I wrote. So I thought, okay, let me make it more metaphorical about, yes, it will sound like a love song, but still put in that meaning of kind of looking out for your dream in a way. And so I did that with my English lyrics. So if I go through my verse, so it's like, if I see your heart go stray, I know what my soul will say. And that kind of is talking about, so in a relationship side, that's I think it's pretty explanatory when you're looking at it in a relationship perspective. But this is more like, if I see your heart of your dreams, so if you see that go away, then you know that your soul won't really be happy with it. So for example, if I see my dream straying away, then I'll feel really low about it. Just like if you see your partner go away and going stray, then you'll feel really down about it. If you're truly in love with them. And so that was that part. And then the second part of that verse is, they told me don't count the days because that's when they fade away. In a relationship side, that might be if you're in a long distance relationship or something, and if you keep counting how far you're apart, you might lose sight of why you what you're together for and stuff like that. And in a similar way with a dream, it's like you're at it for so long, which I feel like a lot of artists are, so a lot of artists can relate to this, and even other careers, not just artists. Like when you're at something for so long, it can get tough, and you're questioning why you're doing it all sometimes, because it's like you're just at it on it again and again, like just the hustle, and sometimes that can get the best of you. And so this bit of it is kind of talking about, if you count how many days you've been going at it. So for example, if I was to say I've been at this career for 5 years, I'll be like, oh my God, it's been so long, and have I really achieved what I wanted to achieve? And you might question yourself. So instead of doing that, just keep going and take the small wins, and don't count those days, because otherwise your dream might fade away, because you're just kind of looking at time value rather than are you feeling good about it or that kind of thing. So that's kind of how we went about the whole thing and took that theme into the rest of the song, so that yes, it sounds like a love song, so it's good for socials and people kind of sing along thinking it's a love song, but really if you know me as a person, know me as an artist, you'll know that there's so much more to it.
And it's so interesting actually hearing how much thought is going into this.
Yeah.
I think you kind of take that for granted, especially in the music industry as it is now, it's so kind of touch and go, kind of fleeting moments, but in reality there's actually still so much thought. Yeah. And crafting that actually goes into making these songs.
As much as we want to put what we love in our music and kind of truly represent what we want to do, it's also what's going to do well on socials as well. That does unfortunately have an aspect to it, because that's what's going to make a song pop. That's what's going to make your career. And so doing it in this way means that I get best of both worlds, where I can try and, love songs tend to do better just somehow because it's more relatable for people. So doing it metaphorically means that you're ticking that box, but you're also ticking the box of being true to yourself.
Yeah, and it's a really smart way of going about it as well, that isn't selling out. It's just kind of literally following the correct path that's going to appeal to everyone, kind of thing. And this one as well had a particularly nice, grand music video as well. So what was the process behind that?
Yeah, so that one we actually shot all the way up in York. So a few hours away from me. I'm based in Milton Keynes, so it was quite far. But the views were beautiful. One of my favourite bits is actually where we're on the York Castle. Was it York Castle? No, York. There was York Wall, sorry. And there was just this open space. And I was just twirling around, living my life. Like, it was such an open space. No one was there. Well, some people would walk through, but you'd wait for a time when no one was there. And I was just singing my heart out, singing the song. And I feel like that was my favorite part of that video, even though there were so much other beautiful things. But that, like, I think everyone that was there loved it. Like, me and the videographer especially, we were having the time of our lives. And also, I think it also adds, like, with the chorus, which I forgot to say when I was talking about songwriting side of it, the chorus is just O's. Like, there's no lyrics to it. There's nothing. It's like, oh, oh. So when I did this, I really wanted to make it, like, you know, something that people can repeat and just sing along to. Just like we have, like, Love 92, for example. Like, everyone sings along to that. And I wanted to do something like that, so that there's no... I believe that music has no language. There's no barrier with regards, like, to what language there is on there. But I just felt like this one, just having O's, meant that people can sing along without having to know the language specifically. And I just loved it. The second I created this chorus, I just knew. I was like, I really want this to be the chorus. So yeah, that was... And so doing that on the York Wall, like, going, oh, on, like, spinning around on, like, the middle of nowhere was really cool. I loved it.
Nice. Yeah, I want to go back and, like, watch your music video and find that moment now to, like, know exactly what you're talking about. Next track, Fair Share with Maharani. And I saw one of your reels about how this actually came about, which is really interesting. But do you want to just explain for us?
I will debuff something for you. That was not real.
Oh, no.
That was just content.
No. Shattered.
I'm so sorry.
Right, well, do you want to tell us the real story then?
Well, I'll tell you the real, because some people might want to know what we've just buffed about. That one was just like as if she came in and kind of popped into our session without, because my producer reveal double booked, but that's not really what happened. That was just a content day. But the way this really came about was both of us had been in touch since COVID, to be fair, because both of us were putting out covers on socials, on TikTok especially, and I feel like that's how we found each other. I loved her Tamixes. Tamixes basically when she put like an English song or like a Western song, and she just turned the lyrics into Tamil, and I absolutely loved it. Growing up as well, I'm Telugu. People usually get quite confused between Telugu and Tamil, but they're different South Indian languages. And even though I'm Telugu, my singing teacher, my Carnatic music teacher, Carnatic is Indian classical music, she was Tamil. So I learned a lot of Tamil songs growing up. And so I just related immediately when I'd heard her stuff. And I think we both just kind of, you know, looked at each other's stuff, loved it, supported it, like music, online music besties, you could say. And seeing that, we always wanted to like work together on something. I know I definitely did. So I think like a year and a half ago, I sent something to her, but it wasn't fully her vibe. And so it didn't really work out. But luckily, when I sent her this one for the EP, she absolutely loved it. And I think it did fit her vibe because it's pure R&B. Like, I feel like loads of people will love this track because it's pure R&B. And so this one, when I sent it to her, she loved it. I sent it along with me creating my own verse and then the chorus. I hummed the chorus for her. And so she took that and she loved it. And so I was like, okay, let's bring in both our languages together. I grew up singing both Tamil and Telugu, so I'd love to sing in it. And when she wrote the lyrics, I sang it. I needed to check my pronunciation a bit, so I went back to my Carnatic teacher from my childhood, asked her to help me with my pronunciation. And then I actually helped her with the Telugu lyrics. She's never sung in Telugu before, so it was a challenge for her. And I hope she liked that one. But she sang, I think she smashed it. So I kind of went through the pronunciation with her, the meaning through it, and we kind of sang it together. But yeah, this song came together online, I'd say, literally through, I can show it, like, I have WhatsApp messages of voice notes going back and forth about creating it. And so, and even Fade Away, actually, that was done all online. So the power of online is really helping for artists these days. So yeah, it's that's kind of how it came about. It came about online and not through bumping into us in studio.
It's fine, I'll allow it. Like, it was a nice couple of days where that was my reality.
I'm sorry to break your whatever
shattered,
you thought it was.
Day ruined.
Break your burst your bubble, sorry.
No, but I think it's really nice as well to hear how much, I've already said about how much thought goes into each song, but also I think as someone that sings in 10 languages, I think it's nice to hear that you're still taking the time to actually make sure that you're getting everything right, in a sense. Like, like some people would be like, oh, she's singing in 10 languages, but she's just like literally putting it in Google Translate and like just copying whatever it says on there. But to hear that you're actually going and checking with the experts, essentially, and making sure, no, if I'm going to do this, I want to actually do it respectfully and correctly. Like, it's really nice to actually hear that you're putting in that effort.
Thank you. I mean, the last thing I want is to be saying the wrong thing and mispronouncing. And I'm sure there will be, if like even in Telugu, it's my mother tongue, but I still make mistakes. And I try my best not to show it in the final recording. But sometimes it just happens and that you've just got to deal with it. As long as you know that you've tried your best, you can't always be perfect, just as long as you know you've given your 100%. Yeah. So I just want to make sure that I'm not offending anyone. I'm saying the right things. On this, in terms of like the 10 languages on this EP, I actually wanted to get so many other languages involved as well. I wanted to make an album. That's my long-term goal. Like, at some point, I'll do an album with all these 10 different languages. But you know what? We start somewhere, and this is where I've started with 5 languages on the EP.
No, like, that is a really cool concept idea. Like, you know, that would be really cool. Like, I think it's a Halsey that's kind of released something. I haven't actually listened to it, but I know she's doing like the Great Impersonator, and I feel like each one of her tracks is maybe to do with a different like person who's inspired her, kind of things, so, like something along those lines, but with languages would be really cool.
Yeah, that sounds quite cool actually.
Yeah, so Fair Share was one of the new tracks that no one's ever heard before, but the next track as well, It's Alright with Inertia, was also new. So how was that, like, how did that come about?
So these two tracks were the unreleased tracks, and I'm glad that they were kept as a surprise, because Fair Share clearly everyone loves so much, and It's All Right is a very meaningful one, more for myself. I don't know if it's for other people, but more for myself that it's on the CP, because it's like a letter to my younger self. The lyrics are very deep, very meaningful, and It's all about kind of speaking to my younger self, kind of telling her that everything will be all right. Hence the title, It's All Right. And like growing up, I had support from my parents and close family and friends, but at the same time, I felt like I went through a fair amount of struggles while I was at school. Kind of not, I wouldn't say bullied directly, but just like, in a way, just mocking the fact that I'm doing music as a career, that like, you wouldn't make it, like, why are you doing it? And just like, there are so many stories which I won't get into, but just about how like people would just mock the fact that I wanted to do music as a kid. And yeah, I wasn't great as a kid. Like, my singing wasn't the best, obviously, because you're just a kid, you're not writing the best songs, you mature as you age. And so over the years, I felt like I've definitely kind of built that for myself and not let what's happened at school kind of take me down, and still continue regardless of what people are saying. And I guess that's also why the theme of this EP and a lot of my music is about not caring what people say and striving for your dreams regardless, because of the like childhood sort of, I guess, trauma that I had growing up in a way. But now, and so that's kind of depicted in this song. For example, in the lyrics, it's kind of like telling my younger self that you're not alone. You don't have to wait any longer to kind of do what you want to do, because trust me, it will be all right in the end. So tell her that it's all right, because it's worked out for me. So for example, in one of the verses, it's like, not shade, but it's like, I remember when they said I wouldn't break through, but 20,000 in the room, it couldn't faze you. And that's kind of going back to the fact that, you know, when I was at school, people were like, you're not going to make it, why are you doing it? To then now me performing in Wembley Arena, which had like 12,000 people, and it didn't faze me. It was the best night of my life, and I'd do anything to get back on that stage. And yeah, it's not actually 20,000. The 20,000 was to rhyme and make it sound good, because 12,000 in the room doesn't really sound that great. So yeah, there's a bit of manipulation to the lyrics, but that's just to make it rhyme. But the essence of it is the fact that, you know, you've done it, and don't worry, you like, and this is to any other person that's feeling the same way, any other kid at school that's kind of going through some shit and they feel really low about it, just know that it will be okay, because as long as you keep going and you don't let that affect you or hurt you in any way, you'll make it, because it's within you that kind of helps you make, like, you define your own path, basically. Again, that's kind of what I talked about in Rani, and you can see it as a running theme, basically.
Yeah.
You define your own journey, you define your own dreams, so don't let what anyone else says affect you. Keep going, because everything will be all right. And yes, this is a letter to my younger self, but sometimes I feel like it's a letter to my current self as well. And it will probably be a letter to my future self as well, because at every point in life, you're going through some turn or the other, and there's struggles at every point. Nothing good comes easy. And so I felt like this letter basically is to look back every time, because if you're going through a tough time now, know that in 5 years' time, you'll be all right and you'll be singing the same thing back to yourself 5 years ago. So yeah, that's the essence of that song. And that's why I felt like it's more meaningful for me than it is for anyone else, because it's really me pouring my heart out. And I think that's also why this is in English, because I wanted to write the entire thing, like just pour my emotions out. When it's the other languages, as much as I can, you know, give a theme and everything, I can't write in all of these languages, so I have to get someone else to write it. So then it loses the touch of it being me slightly. So this one I was like, okay, let me just do it all myself, let me just keep it in English. And this song started a while back. It was like, I always knew I wanted to write a song like this, I just didn't know how or when. So I think the way I do it, I have like an email drafts of all my, like, any thoughts that I have, I'll just draft an email and just keep it in my draft sort of thing. I don't know why I just don't do it on Google Docs or Notes or something.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's really weird. It's really weird. I genuinely don't know how it started, but it started and now I just can't stop doing it. So I write an email draft. And so when this one, I think it was like 2 years ago, I was like, okay, I want to write a song about this. I don't know when I'm going to write. I don't have a beat. I don't have anything. Because usually the way I write songs is I'll think of a beat and then I'll think of melodies and then I'll think of lyrics. That's usually my order, because I don't know why, it just works out better. But this was the one song where I was like, I know what I want to write about. I know the meaning of it. I just don't know how it's going to come about. So this was like one of the only times where I just jotted down a load of feelings, load of random words, like random sentences that I kind of wanted to put across. And it's just stored there. Anytime I felt that vibe again, I'd go back to that email draft, add in some more notes. And then I think when I heard this beat from Inertia, I was like, okay, this is what this song is going to be about, this. And then I pulled out that email draft, looked through everything. So much of it was like utter blabbering, like I couldn't use it in the song, but there were bits and a few words here and there that I can kind of put in and kind of pieced it together, and that's how the song came about.
Oh, that's really cool. I wonder how many other artists can say that their songs came from their email drafts. It's just such a random thing. It's just so interesting to me that you would do that rather than just doing it in notes.
I genuinely do not know why that is the case. It started off that way and I've just stuck to it.
Oh, fair enough. So whilst that was a very much empowering song, but more of a kind of everything is gonna be all right type song, you end with again a very empowering song, but this one's more of like kind of a feel-good anthem. So yeah. Chilling Mare, which came out again 2 years ago, but yeah. What was the decision behind, okay, this is a song that I want to actually end the EP on?
Okay, yeah, so I did get quite a few questions about this, in the sense that, like, why didn't I want to put it in the order of the way that I released it? So having like Legacy, Chilling Mare, Rani, blah, blah, blah. And the reason I was like, no, I don't want to do that, is because I want to take people through a journey of the EP, not just plonk the songs on there. I wanted to think of the order and take people through a journey. So as I said, it starts off with the empowering side of it with Rani, strips back a bit and kind of goes into why I'm doing it all, Legacy, why, like, what are the intricacies of each of these, like the journey, basically kind of, you know, delves deep into the whole everything's going to be all right sort of vibe and all of that. And then going through, and it's a very like emotional, like, it's a raw journey that you kind of go through throughout. And so I wanted to end it off and be like, yes, you've been through that journey, but in the end, everything is, you know, it's a vibe. Like, you're doing it because you love to do it. And like, you know, we're all here to have some fun. It's not always that serious. You're here because everyone wants to have a good time. And that's why it's like a party track, party anthem. But also that, you know, this whole journey that you've just been through, it's not a solo journey, it's a group journey. And that's kind of what Chilling Mare is about, because it's all about women empowerment, girls sticking together. A lot of the lyrics in there are about girls, come on over, kind of like, you know, all. And if you see the music video especially, you'll see in that where there's like a line of us girls just having the time of our life. And that's like what I wanted to end the EP on, because I wanted to end it on a high that, you know, every, like, we're doing it because we want to be a representation for everyone that's out there, especially South Asian women. And just show that, you know, like, together, this sounds so cringe, but together you make the dream work. But yeah, it's just, I think I wanted to end it on a high, and Chilli Mert was the perfect one for it.
No, agreed. And I don't think it sounds cringe. Like, I think that is like, no, I think it makes perfect sense ending it with that. So that's the EP in a nutshell, but what has reception to it been like?
Yes, it's been absolutely insane. So much love. I feel like, so it started off, the launch of the EP started off at the launch party, which was a private event that I hosted in London with, you know, industry, close family, friends, and, you know, friends from uni and all of that. And it was just a night to celebrate the EP and kind of just showcase just the EP and nothing else sort of thing. And this was the first time, you know, I got some merch, as you can see over here, necklace. So I was like, I really wanted to make it all out. I've done a launch party before for the EP that I released pre-COVID, but that was just baby me, like, stepping into the industry. I didn't know too much. But this one, I felt like, you know, I've matured so much as an artist. I really wanted to make a big bang out of it. So there was like, you know, there was a banner where everyone took photos in front of. There was like an Instagram frame that people took photos with, merch to buy, like, cool, like, there was like a trailer and stuff, kind of like a proper concert sort of vibe. And we did like Asian FX, who were the media partners for that, they the host Shivy, he really helped, like, you know, brought the crowd together. We did like a pod, kind of like a mini podcast thing, talking about the journey, talking about the EP, so people knew about it. And then I performed the tracks in order of the EP, and it was just really cool because, like, there was so much love in that room, and it meant so much to me that everyone came and supported. And I know even if they weren't there, people were supporting from the back end. I know you guys were really supporting me, rooting for me from online. But yeah, it did mean a lot to have so much love in one place and to be able to just sing and get everything out to everyone. And that was the first time I was debuting, you know, First Share, It's All Right. And so having people sing along to some of the other songs as well, it was just overall, it was a really, really wholesome night, and I absolutely loved it. But that took like the biggest amount of energy away from me, because I feel like I was just working towards this EP launch for the longest time, and I think I was just shattered after. And so next day, you know, especially like, as being an independent artist, a lot of this you do yourself, and so the event organizing, everything was me still. Yes, I was like, you know, getting help from my family and my friends, but in the end it's me making the decisions and all of that. So it was like, it took a big toll on me. So when it came to release day, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. So I think content wise, I've actually not been putting much out lately, like in the last week, but I have decided to this weekend. I am, you know, getting it back on track, posting as much as I can. But despite not putting out much content, there's been so much love for it. Like, the streams are doing crazy. I think we're almost hitting 250K for the entire EP, which is amazing on Spotify. You know, just, I think a lot of things have been happening like in person rather than online, yet it's still getting that online traction. Lots of people are, I think the favorite one is First Share from what I've seen and what I've heard. So yeah, overall it's been really cool to see. Oh, sorry, biggest thing, it hit number one in the iTunes worldwide charts, which is crazy. Like, I did not think that it would happen, because I actually didn't push for iTunes too much this year. So it was nice to see that happened, and that's all everyone pre-ordering, pre-saving. So thank you to everyone that's doing that. It does mean a lot. So yeah, we celebrated that on the Friday of release. And yeah, just, we're gonna, it's not like, it's literally the start, so there's so much more to do. And I'm gonna keep pushing, and hopefully this reaches the right audience.
No, definitely, and I look forward to seeing it continue to grow. Like you said, if it's already doing this without you, also I love how you say that you've not really done that much content, but like ultimately still have been, you know what I mean, like it's still there. Like,
yeah, there's bit, I feel like every other day I'm posting something. Like, thing is, I'm posting, but it's not about the EP per se. For example, yeah, the other day it was about the Ethnicity Award, so it wasn't about the EP, but it's, I'm still active online with other things. But I haven't put in my strategy for social media yet, which I've literally got a meeting today to get that done.
No, but like I say, like, I think the fact that it's been blowing up without having that strategy in place, and now I look forward to seeing it continue to like get its flowers essentially. But
thank you.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it in terms of the EP. So I suppose all that's left to ask is really like, what's the next steps for this? Do you reckon that you might do like maybe like a single or music video release from some of the tracks that haven't got that from the EP? Or is your next steps thinking, okay, once this is done, maybe what's next, like in terms of new music?
Yeah, sure. New music-wise, I really haven't thought of it. I feel like this has been a project that I'd sort of been working on here, there for the last 2 years. And so, especially over the last, like, year, it's been very, like, on it, making sure it's getting done, you know, getting into studio, wrapping up the songs, all of that sort of stuff. So it's been a year of go, 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 especially, like, the last few months, I'd say. So it's time to take a bit of a break after I've sort of, you know, done the right amount of promo and all of that. And then I'll probably step away for a bit, do some studio sessions just to kind of think of new music. But right now I've not thought about what I want to release next. My like near future vision is, firstly, got a headline show that will be in London and going to be performing this to the public. So basically kind of what we did at the launch party, but for the public instead of a private event. So there'll be merch there. I'll be performing all the songs from the EP. And yeah, so that is one thing that I'm really excited for. It is my debut headline show. I've never done a show where, you know, I'm selling tickets for people to come watch me. So fingers crossed this goes well. So yeah, near future, that's the thing. And hopefully early next year, I'll do some sort of a UK tour. That's just me thinking out loud, manifesting. I've not planned it at all. So in case it doesn't happen, please don't expect it. But yeah, so that's, I'm thinking more around this EP, how we can push it further, how we can do more live shows, because I feel like the last year has been so focused on creating the music and pushing it out that I've not been able to perform live as much. And for me, the reason I do music is because I love performing live. Not like all of this is great, but the core reason why I do it is to perform live. And so I'm really excited to kind of get back out there and perform live and try and get more shows and stuff like that, rather than doing the back end side of things. So yeah, that's sort of my plan for the future. More shows to come, more just music video wise for the actual EP, for the song It's All Right and Fair Share. Nothing fully planned just yet. I might do something for It's All Right, have like an animation video theme in mind, so you know, I don't know, we're still in the works, so we'll see when that comes out, if that comes out. But yeah, so it's still around the EP, nothing completely new, but yeah, just expect a lot more from the EP.
Yeah, and I think that's the right thing to do, like, enjoy this time when the EP is, like, fresh and being enjoyed by so many, definitely. Yeah. Sweet, so look forward to seeing that. For people that want to follow you on socials, where's the best place for them to find you?
All social media, Instagram, TikTok as Saloni_music, SALONI_music. On Spotify as Saloni. Facebook, YouTube as Saloni Music. And if you want to sign up to my mailing list, just go to www.salonimusic.com and sign up, and you'll be updated on everything. Hopefully, usually pre-access. So this headline show will be launched on my mailing list first, and then anything else. So yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.